RT Election 2020, the exit poll.
Good evening and welcome to this Late Debate Exit Poll special. I'm Katie Hannan, and with the polls now just closed, we can discuss the findings of the Ipsos MRBI exit poll for RTE, the Irish Times, TG Cahir and UCD. And let's just look at those vote share percentages again before we go any further, because I think they are pretty startling. Fine Gael is on 22.4%. Fianna Fáil is on 22.2%. Sinn Féin is on 22.3%. The Green Party, 7.9%. Labour, 4.6%. The Sock Dems, 3.4%. Solidarity, People Before Profit on 2.8%. Aonthu on 1.8%. And others on 1.5%. And Independence with an 11.2% share of the vote. Again, we should say this is from a sample size of 5,376. And we have a margin of error of plus or minus 1.3%. Now, we'll be getting a response to those figures from representatives of the main parties a little later in the programme. But for now, I want to get the expert view from my distinguished panel, and let me introduce them to you. In studio, I am joined by Dr. Kevin Cunningham, pollster and lecturer in politics in TU Dublin, Dr. Teresa Reedy, political scientist at UCC, Professor Michael Gallagher, Department of Political Science, UCD, Owen Tomás McDermott from the Communications Clinic, and Jennifer Bray, political reporter with the Irish Times. We want to hear from you, so please do get in touch. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie, or tweet to @latedebate_rte. Now, just before we continue, I just want to acknowledge the huge loss all of us here in RTE today feel with the death of Keelan Shanley. Keelan was a former presenter of this programme, just one chapter in a career in which she achieved so much. She was a superb journalist who cared deeply about the issues that mattered and the people whose stories she told. She was also a truly exceptional person, the kindest and most generous friend and colleague who will be missed beyond measure. Our sincere condolences to her husband, Connor, her adored children, Lucy and Ben, her father, Derry, and indeed to all her family and friends. And I know that all of you here in studio with me tonight will want to join with me in that. Now, Keelan was the consummate professional, so we will be professional, we will carry on. And just looking at those numbers, Kevin Cunningham, what are we to make of those figures?
Well, I think the first thing to see, which is interesting, is that I mean, the three parties are within a margin of error of who actually won the election. It reflects what's happened during the campaign, in that Fianna Fáil started the campaign very strongly, polling 27-30% depending on the poll, and gradually declined, with Sinn Féin eating into that vote over the course of it. And that does reflect in the poll. Fine Gael have obviously done slightly better than we expected with 22%, but only marginally so. What's interesting to me, seeing it here, is that across different demographic groups, Sinn Féin have picked up quite significantly. Even in the 50 to 64-year-old age group, Sinn Féin are up at 22.8%. They're actually ahead of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, albeit again within a margin of error. But the fact that they're equally competitive among older voters is quite interesting in and of itself. They're doing particularly well in rest of Leinster. But broadly speaking, it's very much difficult to see. The narrative coming into this election, certainly towards the end, was that Fianna Fáil would get 50 to 60 seats. It's very difficult to see that in these results.
Yeah, Teresa Reedy, I mean, obviously this is an exit poll. We put all those caveats on it, and there is that margin of error of 1.3% plus or minus. But my first thought looking at these numbers are, how are we going to get a government out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the figures are very striking. Actually, if you look at the kind of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil combination together, you know, that is now significantly below 50%. And just to contextualise that, if we were to go back 40 years, those two parties combined were getting more than 70% of the vote. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour added together is now below 50%. I think, broadly speaking, the poll confirms, or it very strongly supports, that the surge in Sinn Féin has come to, in Sinn Féin support has come to pass. Fine Gael has lost ground since 2016, but perhaps not as badly as some of the campaign polls and the projections were showing, although the momentum is away from them, and that will matter in terms of the final shakedown of the seats. But I think crucially, there had been an expectation very much coming from Fianna Fáil that they would gain momentum in the final days of the campaign, particularly as the debate crystallised around Sinn Féin's past and those issues came crowding back in. And That certainly isn't supported by the figures that are broadly speaking in front of us here tonight. So it leaves us in a very uncertain situation. But I think the one thing we can say is that the fallout from the 2011 election is still with us. In 2011, the party system was fractured, and we went from having kind of two big political parties to having one big political party and a kind of shell of what used to be the big political party. And then there was some shifting in that space in 2016. And I think now we're looking at a party system where you have three broadly speaking medium or moderate sized parties. So we're not entirely sure whether this is the final working out of that earthquake in 2011 or whether there is more to come.
We're still on that journey. Michael Gallagher, your take from these figures.
Yes, it's extraordinary. Three parties more or less in a dead heat. I can't recall any election anywhere where you had three parties so evenly balanced, and even the three of them only amount to about two-thirds of the total vote. Just to contextualise the exit poll, because obviously we only have the exit poll to respond to. Exit polls in this country do have a pretty good record. They're very close, they're very much in the ballpark, but inevitably they're not completely accurate to the precise percentage, and there's a bit of a track record of how they diverge. So for example, last May the exit poll asked people how you had voted in the European elections and the local elections. The green figure there was 9% for the locals in the exit poll. The actual result was 5.5%. Sinn Féin likewise were rather overstated. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael both understated. The poll found that 23% said they'd voted for Fianna Fáil. Actually, 27% had when the votes were counted. And going back to the previous year in the presidential election, Michael D. Higgins' vote slightly overstated by the exit poll in the repeal the 8th referendum. Yeah. The exit poll found 69% had voted yes. The actual figure was 66%. So there seems to be a pattern.
I suppose if we go back, I suppose the one that you might most likely see a pattern, you'd look for a pattern, would be the 2016 general election. Yes, I have those figures in front of me here. Yes. Certainly, Fianna Fáil was significantly...
That's right.
They came in at just over 21% of that, and they actually ended up at over 24%.
By about 3%, yes. And in 2011, likewise, there were 4%. So it seems to be that generally parties may be a bit more on the left side of the spectrum, the more liberal side, the ones more supported by younger parties. They're a bit overstated by the polls. Maybe Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael a bit understated by the exit polls, because their support is, as this shows, quite strongly related to age.
Yes, Jennifer, who will be happiest and who will be most concerned about these figures tonight?
I think, but personally speaking, I am very surprised by these figures. I didn't expect to see a three-way dead heat. I think Leo Varadkar said a couple of days ago that he was warning people not to write the political obituary yet for his party, and he was talking about word that he was receiving back from his political directors on the ground, and it would appear now that maybe some of that was correct. I think the larger parties, it's obviously all to play for. I mean, just because they're all in the same position doesn't mean that this will transfer into the equal number of seats, because obviously Sinn Féin have run far fewer candidates, and that is something I think they will reflect on. But if we look at the smaller parties, the Green Party on 7.9%. I think they'd be quite disappointed with that. And the Labour Party...
But will they though? Because every opinion poll put them hovering around the 8% mark, did it not? So they were kind of solidly... The campaign didn't seem to move the dial much for
it. It didn't really, but I think they hoped for more. But what I would say on that basis is, given that level of support for Sinn Féin is so high, you would have to wonder what impact their transfers will have. Obviously a major impact. We heard Mary Lou McDonald urging voters to vote for Sinn Féin and then to vote for candidates on the left. So the transfers will be key, and we won't know what happens with that until tomorrow.
Absolutely. Okay, I got to go to you in a moment, John, because I'm told I have Martin Hayden, the chairman of the Fine Gael party, on the line. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, Katie. How are you?
Martin, how is that for you?
it's encouraging. According to this exit poll, we are marginally the largest party percentage of votes-wise, but it is just an exit poll. And, we'll take it into our stride. We really should wait 24 hours to see what the actual count says tomorrow. But it is encouraging from our perspective. We would have been written off by many commentators over the last few weeks. And, you know, this we did feel it, some of the polls weren't really being reflected to what me and my colleagues were feeling on the doors. And particularly in the last week, it did feel like it was coming back to us. Those numbers are borne out in this exit poll. And it also does mean that Fine Gael is very much in play for transfers as well, I think. So it is encouraging from our perspective.
Having said that, did you ever think you would see a day where you would see Fine Gael on an almost exact vote share with Sinn Féin in an exit poll?
Look, I think it's fairly clear. No, probably not is the straight answer, but like it's fairly clear that the days of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil dominating Irish politics are over. And, you know, whatever about us, in a three-way tie, I think this is a pretty disastrous result if this is borne out for Fianna Fáil, who 3 weeks ago had a 12-point lead. And there'll be probably plenty of analysis of that. But, yeah, look, we are heading into... you know, our elections are becoming more volatile, more like a lot of other European countries, and the need for, you know, the ability to form governments now is going to be harder with this.
Can I ask you, though, I mean, you got 25.5% of the share of the vote in 2016, and you managed to get 50 seats with that share. You're looking at losses here, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm very mindful of the fact that myself and my colleagues all around the country are at home tonight with our families, and we're thinking about, you know, the chances are we won't all be back on these numbers. I will lose colleagues and hope to survive myself. But I think we could well elect some new candidates as well. So this is a very difficult time, and for anybody who's put the name forward of any party, you know, they put their heart and soul into the last few weeks. And I know the amount of people around every candidate who have put all of that time and energy in there. It's a very nervous time tonight. But, you know, I do think, considering some of the commentary in recent weeks and some of the polls, that plenty of Fine Gael people will take a lot of heart from these numbers tonight.
Okay. Thanks for that, Martin Hayden. I just want to go back to my panel with that. Would you agree, Owen, there with Martin Hayden's analysis that they felt they were pulling it back, that the momentum had been against them in those first couple of weeks, and then in that last week that they felt they gained back some ground?
Well, I'm not sure. Martin has talked about there was getting good feedback on the doorsteps. I think it was Daniel McConnell in The Examiner had a piece on Friday that suggested otherwise, and Martin should feel comfortable enough this evening. I think he's topped the poll the last two times in his constituency. The sense was that Fine Gael didn't have a particularly great campaign. It was very difficult for them to get momentum going. The party that I would be worried about would be looking at Labour's vote. They're down at 4.6%. That's exceptionally low. And in particular, if you go to between 18 and 24 year olds, they're down at 2.6%. I would think if you're looking at Labour and Labour, the organisation, it could lead to an existential crisis where Sinn Féin have clearly stolen their clothes and are taking that left vote. Brendan Howland, I saw images of Brendan Howland, Joan Burton and Joe Costello on the screen during the week, which I wouldn't think was particularly attractive to younger voters. And so Labour are certainly struggling, and I would certainly fear for them.
Okay, I believe I have Pearse Doherty, the Sinn Féin Director of Elections, on the line from Donegal. Pearse Doherty, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Katie. And can I first maybe just pass my sympathy to all Ciarán Shanley's colleagues, her family and friends on the untimely passing of Ciarán. It's a huge loss to journalism, and I'm sure her family, her friends and the colleagues in RTÉ are hurting at this point in time, and my sympathies to all of you.
Absolutely, that is appreciated, Pearse. Now, tell me, are you looking at these figures? The last two opinion polls put you ahead of the pack. You're now neck and neck according to these figures. Do they read like you were expecting?
Well, I think it was very clear throughout the campaign, and, you know, the opinion polls come and go, but you could hear it very clearly in the communities. You could see it on the ground. You could get the feel that there was a huge mood for change right throughout this campaign, and that's what we're seeing and reflected in the exit poll. If these numbers bear out, it's no doubt it's going to be a very good day for Sinn Féin and all of those who came out and voted for change and wanted change, and that's exactly the message that we wanted. That's the message that we were telling people, that there was a need for something different from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and these figures show probably those two parties now at a historic low in terms of combined numbers, less than 45% of the public supporting them. But we'll wait tomorrow to see how the votes are counted and the seats are distributed.
Do you think that controversy that you were battling against in those last few days of the campaign, the handling of the Paul Quinn merger, do you think that damaged your vote as you were just coming to the finishing line?
I think very clearly you can see in the figures there today that you know, that there is a mood for change. People heard Sinn Féin's message. They knew that Sinn Féin had the solutions to deal with the housing crisis, to deal with the health crisis, the fact that people needed a break, and that's what they've responded to. You know, while there was a huge attention, and you know, we addressed those issues in the media on numerous interviews, the reality is, Katie, that this wasn't coming up on the doors. Nobody was talking about this and to us on the doorsteps, and what they were talking about was the issues that were affecting them, whether it was the cost of childcare, whether it was the fact that immigration is still a reality for many people in rural Ireland, and that they wanted a break from the past and they wanted something new. And that's been reflected in the fact that Sinn Féin has a vote in this exit poll that is of a historic nature.
You might have heard the conversation we were having earlier about previous exit polls and how certain there's a certain pattern there of some parties being overstated and other parties understated. Sinn Féin was overstated in the last general election exit poll by like just over 2%. Would you be concerned that that might be a pattern that would repeat itself?
Look, this is only an exit poll, and we've heard a lot of, you know, wisdom during this campaign. We've heard people talk about Sinn Féin doesn't get the vote out, you know, the younger people won't come out and vote. We've heard that Sinn Féin, you know, underperforms in a general election and goes backwards. All those trends have been bucked. We've clearly shown that that's not the case, because there is a hunger for change there. As I said, this is just an exit poll. It has got a large sample. It's got a very small margin of error. But, you know, tomorrow will tell its tale when the boxes are open and the votes are counted. And I think people have responded to the message of Mary Lou McDonald. They know that she gets it, where Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar has simply not been in touch with that desire for change, particularly, you know, with a younger generation, but beyond the younger generation as well.
Yeah, well, looking at that younger generation, but really some spectacular figures from the breakdown that we're getting on this exit poll. 32% of voters under the age of 34 saying they voted for Sinn Féin this time.
Yeah, and we could see that from the very start of the campaign. In any, you know, in any campaign, you obviously try to ensure that you know, people who are entitled to vote are on the register or on the supplementary register. That wasn't an issue for us in this time, because young people were coming, phoning us up, sending us messages, you know, asking us how can I get voting here, and you could feel that from the very get go of when the whistle was blown in this campaign. There was a clear sense. We knew that I think the polls show that young people wanted change. But it was clear to us from not only did they want change, but they were going to vote for change, and they were going to vote for Sinn Féin to deliver that change that they wanted. And that seems to be borne out today in the exit polls. And I think that's a positive signal for Sinn Féin in terms of that cohort of people right up to the age of 34 and indeed beyond, where we're polling very, very strong, see Sinn Féin as the future.
You managed to get 23 seats out of just under 14% share in 2016. Do you want to make a stab at where you might land this time?
Not at all. I'll leave that till tomorrow. Leave no hostages to
fall. I was going there. To say, I was hoping for a few hostages there.
Can I just say, that every one of our 42 candidates have absolutely played a blinder. They have put in a huge effort for many, many years working in their community, and the campaign that they ran with the thousands of people who were out knocking doors for us and selling our message to the public. They have done just an outstanding job, and I couldn't ask anything better of that team of people. And whatever way it works out tomorrow, and you know, our key thing is we want to be in government to deliver the change that people are voting for.
Can you see a route to government from these figures?
Well, look, you know, of course you can. Of course you can. We've said at the very outset that this is grown-up politics, that the people have cast their vote, the people have decided who they want to represent them. And so now we will do what we said we would do. We will talk to all of the TDs who are going to be elected over the next 24 hours. We will talk to the smaller parties and the larger parties, and we will see if we can create a programme for government. And I think other parties need to recognise, you know, that Sinn Féin has a huge mandate here. There are hundreds of thousands of people that have come out and said that they want Sinn Féin to represent them. So let's see if that will work out. But the first thing we need to do is we need to wait till 9 o'clock
tomorrow,
the boxers are open.
We need to actually
count
those
votes. There'll be a lot of twists and turns between here and there.
Indeed. Piers Doherty, thank you for joining us from Donegal with that this evening. I'll go right away now. I think I've Jack Chambers on the line. Good evening, Jack.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Okay, give me the Fianna Fáil perspective on this poll, Jack.
Well, look, I think we have to be careful. We have an exit poll now that, if you look at the 2016 exit poll, Fianna Fáil was on 21%. We got 24% of the vote and ended up with a seat bonus of 28% of the seat. So I think, a significant health warning to the calculation of seats. But what is clear from the exit poll is that, you know, there is a dead heat, as Michael said, and clearly politics has fragmented again with a split across three parties now, and that's evident from the poll. But I think what will happen inevitably tomorrow, there will be long counts. Marginal seats across the board, and it'll come down to local factors and geography in terms of final seats, which will dictate the outcome in the end.
But if we look at those figures, though, Jack Chambers, you will not make the kind of gains you were targeting if those figures turn out to be accurate on the day.
Well, look, I just say to you that the trend of exit polls from the last the local elections, which dictated the narrative on RT last year, but also for the local elections, but also the last general election, they've historically underestimated the Fianna Fáil percentage vote. And that's not just in one exit poll. That's across every exit poll.
Yeah, I think Michael Gallagher was actually making that point in studio earlier, Jack.
That's a significant point, because it'll come down to, you know, that will dictate the marginal seats. It'll dictate whether an extra seat can be gained in certain constituencies. And I think until we see the pattern of votes across constituencies, it's too early to call. But as I said, it's clear, it's clear there is a dead heat, and you know, some of the opinion polls were reflected in this exit poll, and I mean it was a significant sample size, so it can't be rejected. But as I said, in the last general election, the exit poll said we were on 21%, and with a seat bonus, we ended up with 28% of the seats. So, we have to wait and see until the boxes open tomorrow.
On these numbers, can you see a Fianna Fáil-led government?
I absolutely think we can. And as I said, we've got some very strong candidates across the country who are looking to, if you look in Dublin, for example, I think we've definite scope for gains and in constituencies where we've no seat. Okay. And I think if you look at the, you know, some strong second candidates across the board, I think they'll come into play. But as I said,
on these numbers, it looks like there's going to be some right scraps for those last seats in a lot of those constituencies.
No, there is. And that's why I've said it'll come down to the surplus if someone has one, and local factors and geography, particularly across rural Ireland. So that's the scope of the battle we're in. And there'll be long counts tomorrow for every party.
And as you say, this is an exit poll. We need to see those votes actually on the table tomorrow. Thank you for that, Jack Chambers. I want to go now to Eamon Ryan, leader of the Green Party. Good evening, Eamon.
Good evening. Katie, can I say, before I say anything on the election, just I wanted to pass on my sympathies to everyone in RTÉ and the loss of Keelan Shammy today. We were shocked in this house when we heard the news. She's a real loss, and that's uppermost in my mind, to be honest, this evening, in terms of, because I knew Keelan, and I just want to pass on my sympathies to everyone in RTÉ.
I'm sure that is very much appreciated, Eamon. In relation to the matter at hand, are you happy?
Yeah, no, I think, firstly, caveat, because in the past we've seen exit polls which slightly overemphasize our vote, so I'd be very nervous around that, and therefore I'd hold back. I was watching some of the figures and looking at the figures, the spread. If the figures are accurate, we run about 13% in Dublin, and then about 7% in Munster, Connacht, Ulster, slightly lower in the rest of Leinster. If those figures are correct, we probably should win a good number of seats in Dublin, and we would have actually a significant chance of winning seats in other parts of the country, because our own experience in the past is with sort of a 7% share, we can actually win seats because we do have some transfers. So we'd have to wait and see. But yeah, no, that's where we'd gone up to in the polls in recent weeks, and we were very pleased with that. So if that vote turns out, or if that 8% turns out to be accurate, I think it could be a very good day for us.
Well, you were predicting 15 seats, I think. Are you still predicting 15 seats?
Depends on if it is 8%, and depends obviously on the transfers and everything. Yeah, I think that's still possible, actually, because particularly with a Sinn Féin surplus, it depends where that goes. And because some of the bigger parties are running, you know, I'm just thinking now, Wicklow, where I think Fine Gael are running three, isn't it? Know, that then, if they have a 22% vote, that's difficult for them to get two seats. in that sort of constituency, and there's loads of examples of that across the country. So, no, I think we do have a chance, but we probably won't know until Monday, or well, certainly Sunday night, because a lot of it's going to be on the
transfers.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, Eamon Ryan, thank you for that, and there we will take a break.
RTE Election 2020, your voice, your vote.
And you're welcome back. Now, just if I can go to you, Kevin, and get a response from you from that analysis by our party representatives. Fine Gael, I think Martin Hayden sounded quite relieved there that momentum had the downward slide seemed to have been arrested. But in terms of what Jack Chambers was saying there about the Fianna Fáil vote traditionally being underrepresented in these exit polls.
Mm. Well, In the case of Martin Hayden, even though Fine Gael are ahead, I wouldn't be so relieved because, you know, transfers, when they come in, they're probably in the most toxic position out of all the parties, so they may struggle. But in terms of Fianna Fáil, I think they have an opportunity to do relatively okay if they have more candidates in the mix. I think what will probably happen in a lot of cases here, we've got a lot of small parties, and I think they're the ones that might pick up the additional seats in particular. You know, if you look down the line, even Solidarity are going to benefit from the surplus that Sinn Féin have, probably to a great extent, and they'll probably come in a couple of places. The Green Party will be in contention in a lot of places, primarily by staying in the running, I think, in a lot of cases. Labour probably won't do as well because they won't be able to attract as many transfers as the other parties that are kind of newer and fresher. So I think a lot will come down to those transfers and how attractive individual parties are in relation to attracting additional votes. And that'll have a huge impact, I think.
Yeah, Teresa, I'm just looking at some of the regional breakdown figures. Fianna Fáil would be very disappointed if they come in at 14% in Dublin. They have put such an effort over the last 5 years, since 2011, really, to rebuild some kind of a base in Dublin.
I think that's certainly true, and they had been targeting gains in a number of places, kind of very prominently like Dunleary. But at the same time, the figure is not inconsistent with patterns that we have seen. So what it suggests is that there hasn't actually been a huge amount of momentum for Fianna Fáil. So the headline figure would broadly support that, and that the pattern across the regions, I think, is in line with what we have seen in the past. They were also hoping for gains in Munster, and the figure is kind of again more modest there. I think what's interesting is if we go down the list in Dublin, you see the Green Party is coming in on 13% there. So the national suggested figure is 7.9, and it's showing that it's much higher in Dublin.
Well, that's what Eamon Ryan was saying.
That really isn't. Yeah, exactly. So that really is important. That really puts them in the fray for quite a number of seats. And I'd have to point as well, maybe to the Labour Party, but in the other direction. So, for example, their national figure is 4.6%. In Dublin, they're on 8.1%, which says maybe they will hold some of the seats there, might even make a gain. One of the ones that they've been looking to, perhaps Éadan or Reardon, might still be in the fray. But if you look at the Munster figure, they're on 3.6%. And that speaks to a very difficult day for the Labour Party in Munster. So, you know, people like Jan O'Sullivan and Limerick, for example, are facing a very long and difficult count ahead.
And of course,
on
that
those
would
kinds of figures,
Tipperary as well, where they would have hoped for a
indeed,
good day
where
out Alan
now
Kelly.
Alan Kelly and Jan O'Sullivan have held on in the face of figures against them in the past, but this will make it quite a difficult day. So there's a lot of variation, particularly within the smaller parties. But you know, Dublin has very large concentration of seats, so it's a crucial kind of fulcrum or kind of a cockpit of the election for a lot of these parties.
Yeah, Michael Gallagher.
Yes, so just looking at the figures, and if we make the assumptions most favourable to Fianna Fáil that the exit poll might have underestimated them by 3 or 4%, and that's by no means guaranteed, the exit poll might prove to be completely accurate, but even if we make that assumption, it's hard to see Fianna Fáil getting anything more than, say, the low 50s. Whereas Fine Gael, if you assume they might have been a bit underestimated as they were last time, they might be in the mid-40s for seats, which in fact is better than the way it's looked in recent days, so they might not be too unhappy with that. Sinn Féin perhaps in the low 30s. I think Sinn Féin will do pretty well on transfers, generalising a bit. They'll do well on transfers from working-class voters. Greens will do well on transfers from middle-class voters. As Kevin says, Fine Gael will be the least transfer-friendly. So in terms of government formation, it's certainly very hard to see any majority government, given that the top three parties won't ally with each other, but it's possible.
Or will they, Michael Gardner?
Well, I trust politicians. Some people are more cynical, but it does seem that the most likely outcome is a Fianna Fáil-led coalition, maybe with Fine Gael support, a reversal of the present situation. That's really looks like the only stable government that could emerge.
Yeah, Jennifer, you've been looking at possible.
Yeah.
Amalgamations.
Indeed, yeah. And it would seem to me that if these figures are borne out over the next couple of days, somebody is going to have to break one of their pre-election promises. Because obviously both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have said they won't go into government with Sinn Féin. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have also said they will not go into a grand coalition with each other. And there is a very large school of thought that in both parties that believe to go into another confidence and supply arrangement will not happen. So either we are facing another election or somebody is going to have to break one of their pre-election promises. Sinn Féin will obviously argue that on those figures they are absolutely entitled to be part of that conversation. On those figures, it's very hard to see either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael breaking, I don't know, 50 seats, but Sinn Féin could well expect, I think, to be up in the late 20s, maybe even the early 30s. So, I mean, really and truly, it's anyone's guess how a government is made out of this, unless somebody breaks one of those I will not go into government promises.
Come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most impressive things this evening was that Pearce was able to contain his happiness, because today was a very, very good day for Sinn Féin, particularly when you compare it to where they were coming from after the European and local elections and the last while. Sinn Féin have done really, really well in recent times. Their spokespeople are very good. Pearce, for example, is absolutely superb. One of the highlights of last year was his evisceration of the CEOs of the insurance companies in the Dáil Committee. But the star for me in this campaign has been Eoin Óibrín, who is an absolutely superb spokesperson. He's been very, very clear on housing, but there's a beautiful video of him on the Irish Times website where he is out canvassing that demonstrates as well how personable he is. So for me, Sinn Féin have done really well with their spokespeople. Mary Lou obviously has been very good, and Louise O'Reilly in North Dublin has performed well on health. I think they also should send a big thank you to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil for talking incessantly about going into government with Sinn Féin, pointing the spotlight on them and giving them coverage which they really wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
And giving them exactly the kind of coverage that they really needed, which was we're the two establishment guys, you can stay outside the door.
Absolutely. Even yesterday, for example, there was a 17-minute discussion on Sean O'Rourke between Regina Doherty and Jim O'Callaghan talking about not going into government with Sinn Féin. I would have thought the Sinn Féin press office would have been rubbing their hands with glee saying, thanks lads, this is fantastic for us.
But how is it that wasn't caught somewhere along the way, because it was being pointed out, the analysis was there that, you know, why are you putting Sinn Féin in the frame every day by talking about
them? Well, it kind of seems logical though. You say, well, you attack them, we'll go at them. But rule number one is you don't put your opposition into the spotlight, and that is what they have done.
Yeah. Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that strategy does make some sense when you're trying to prevent the party from rising in support. If you think that Sinn Féin is going to threaten and try and win more votes from you, it might be more difficult for them to do so if you start raising these issues that they did. I mean, around Sinn Féin, about the fear of Sinn Féin, it might galvanise some of your votes, especially if you're Fine Gael, when you don't think you're probably going to win many trans votes directly from Sinn Féin in particular. I think you mentioned the thing about the polls before and could they be off or could they not? I mean, in some sense, when polling companies go out and they do try to do something like this, it is a dynamic process. So they don't necessarily do it entirely in isolation of past events. They try to refine things and make sure that it's been improved. And one of the big things about opinion polls is this overestimate of younger voters, the 18 to 24 in particular. But if you look at this poll, it's only 7% of the respondents are in that 18 to 24 year old bracket. So the extent to which that might feature and that might be the bias, I don't think that's the case. The one thing I might be cautious about is that I think in some opinion polls, some people might be more enthusiastic to respond to opinion a pollster than someone else. And that's called the shy Tory traditionally effect. And the party that you might think might be shy in this election might be Fine Gael. So I think if it was going to go in one direction, it might be more likely that particular party.
The one you're least likely to tell a pollster you voted
and
for.
And it might pull down Sinn Féin because there is a bit of enthusiasm around Sinn Féin.
Okay, well, we had reporters out at polling stations around the country today and they asked voters why they voted, how they voted and why they voted in that way. John Cook was in Clare.
Well, I'm voting Fianna Fáil. Well, I think it'd be great to see Fianna Fáil back in government. I'm hoping that they will, you know, address some of those serious issues. Our health service, the homeless crisis.
Sinn Féin, it's time for a change.
Is this the way you voted previously or is this different?
No, I always voted for Fianna Fáil.
Didn't want to give Micheál Martin a go or what?
He had a go in the last term in government. They've both had their terms now.
Fine Gael, I think they've done a good job. Definitely, I would like to give them more time.
I voted Sinn Féin because I think it's time that we need change.
How'd you vote in the last general election?
I voted Fine Gael and it's killed me ever since. The health service, it's the main issue. I'm nursing myself, so I've seen hardship, mad expenses for childcare. It's just tough.
And were you always a Fine Gael supporter?
Yes. Yes,
so voting Sinn Féin today is a big deal for you, it's a big change.
It's a massive deal, it's a huge change, it's something I've never done before.
I voted for Green, it's terrifying to think what's happening around us.
Would have been always Fianna Fáil, but this time I just said give it to Sinn Féin and just see what happens.
Who do you see them going into government with if they were to?
Any of them, to be honest, which I think they're all the same.
They're all the same there. That was John Cook and Clare. And Brian O'Connell was in Cork North Central and here's what the voters told him about why they cast the votes the way that they did.
What party did you vote for, can I ask?
Independence and Sinn Féin.
And what influenced your decision?
We definitely need to change, without a doubt, because what's inside aren't doing anything.
So did you vote differently than you would have in the last few elections?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Normally you'd be what?
Fianna Fáil, normally.
Had you voted for Sinn Féin before?
No, never, no.
So what influenced your decision there?
Like Mary Lou, I think she's, you know, she could be good.
Who did you vote for?
Fianna Fáil.
Are you a lifelong Fianna Fáil man?
No. I have fluctuated between Fianna Fáil and other parties.
So why did you vote Fianna Fáil?
They deserve another chance, maybe that they've learnt their lesson and I'm sick of Fine Gael and what they haven't been doing properly.
Do you mind me asking you what party you voted for?
Sinn Féin.
First time voting for them?
Yes.
Why was that?
At the hospitals, I think, is a big problem in the health, housing, crime. Some of their policies I don't agree with. On the other hand, she's more likely to get a United Ireland than any of the others.
Is it your first time voting Sinn Féin?
It's my first time voting Sinn Féin, I assure you, yeah. It may well be the last time as well, we'll see.
Do you mind me asking a personal question? What age are you?
87.
Did you ever think you'd vote Sinn Féin?
I didn't, and absolutely no, because of their connections, certainly not with Gerry Adams around, you know. But I think she's bringing a new breath of fresh air to Sinn Féin and to the country as a whole, yeah.
Can I ask yourself how you voted? What party?
Green.
Green?
Yeah.
Would you be a Green voter normally?
Yes, for the last few times, yeah. I'm always disappointed, but there you are.
And that were the voters leaving polling stations in Cork North Central today. What was striking there from both those Vox posts was the number of people who said that they had changed their vote, and several of them saying that for the first time in their life they had voted Sinn Féin. And also it struck me that 87-year-old voter, who of course isn't of the profile that we've been talking about of the voters moving towards Sinn Féin, but talking about the Mary Lou MacDonald factor, the fact that it wasn't Gerry Adams at all. Jennifer, do you think that movement towards Sinn Féin that had been anticipated when the leadership switched from Gerry Adams to Mary Lou, which didn't seem to materialise, suddenly seems to have landed big time?
Absolutely. And if you look back to the local elections 9 months ago, and the party suffered a terrible day, it lost half its council seats. And there was a lot of questions raised at the time about Mary Lou MacDonald's leadership and whether she was up for the job, because there was this presumption that she would give this party kind of a bounce, especially among younger voters. And I think what they did then was they sat down and looked at their strategy, looked at what worked, looked at what didn't work, and they decided they would pursue a message that was clearly related to solutions to the various different crises on health, on housing, and that they would push that in the Dáil and in leaders' questions. They got to the by-election then. Mark Ward did very, very well, and I think they looked at that and saw that as a validation of their strategy. Come forward now to the election campaign, stuff like leaders' debate, the debates we saw on the TV, they can be pivotal. Mary Lou kind of had a very good debate, the first and second debate. Obviously, her interview with Brian Dobson didn't go quite to plan. But I think those various different factors all fed in. And actually, I've heard so many people saying, I'm going to vote Mary Lou, like as if Mary Lou is a party all in and of herself. So she certainly has a factor. And like you mentioned, Eoin O'Brien and Pearse Doherty, very strong on insurance towards Christmas time, early in the new year. Eoin O'Brien, Louise O'Reilly on health, and they've put those faces out there. Very, very capable. And I definitely think you put all those factors together and that's where we're here.
Yeah. But also what struck me is if you compare Sinn Féin spokespeople against Fianna Fáil spokespeople, they're streets ahead. Fianna Fáil spokespeople have been very poor, bar Micheál Martin, who did a lot of the heavy lifting. But we heard Jack Chambers earlier on. Jack had a bit of a meltdown on with Claire Byrne. Stephen Donnelly somehow, on a health debate, managed to make it all about him when we had the Minister of Health same room. Yeah, not in a positive way at all. And Dara O'Brien didn't lay a glove on Eoin Murphy in the housing one. So Fianna Fáil have been out of practice. And I think it is partly down to the confidence and supply that they've been muzzled. They haven't been able to be out arguing, whereas Sinn Féin were match fit and they were ready for this election and they delivered.
Yeah, Teresa.
I just pick up on your point there that you started with in relation to the volatility. There was a really startling statistic developed by Peter Mayer, actually, deceased political scientist in 2011. And he told us that the 2011 general election was the second or third most volatile in Western Europe since 1945. And then after the 2016 election, we were told that that was the ninth most volatile general election in Western Europe since 1945. And I think we're back in that kind of territory again tonight because we see there's a very sharp increase in the vote for Sinn Féin. The vote for the Labour Party is down. It looks like the vote for Fine Gael is down quite a bit. So this pattern of volatility is something that really, I mean, we didn't used to have terribly volatile elections. There wasn't a lot of swapping on the kind of grand scheme of things between parties. But 2011 really marked a changing point and we're still seeing the fallout of that. And I think we also haven't a settled pattern of government now that comes from this new transformed landscape, and it'll take quite some time before we get anywhere close to a government.
Yeah, like if there was any thoughts from Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil that they were experiencing a blip of sorts over the last couple of elections, this does not seem to be the case. I just see Peter from Mayo texting us. It looks like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are now, unfortunately, parties of the past. Michael.
Well, I think that's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but in terms of volatility, I was about to make a rather different point, almost the opposite point, which is that not very much volatility in this election, where we expected, certainly I think Fianna Fáil expected a significant growth in their support, whereas in fact they've come in at about the same level, maybe 1 or 2 points up on where they were. Fine Gael, in the past few days, people were expecting a significant slippage in support, whereas in fact they're slightly down maybe, but only by about 2 or 3 points. Sinn Féin, certainly they're up by about 7 points, but that seems to be by some way the biggest movement. Everyone else is just a little bit up or a little bit down on where they were last time. So as Teresa says, perhaps we should think of this as the new normal and think about government formation in that context rather than expecting to go back to the way things were when certain combinations were simply unthinkable.
I just got a message in here. Debates and opinion polls gave too much influence to the vote, says Emma. Obviously the turning point, if there was a turning point or a moment in this campaign where it took off and there was a sense of, okay, now we see what we're dealing with here, was that second opinion poll that put Sinn Féin significantly on, that showed that surge towards Sinn Féin. Is there a discussion to be had around how the polling in of itself then drives a momentum, Kevin?
Well, I think the polling is informative as well. I mean, if a voter sees that a party is becoming more popular and presents,
is it a chicken and egg thing, though?
The pollster would say
that.
I think it's interesting because it kind of suggests who's. I mean, it reflects what's happening. If you think about it, it might be chicken and egg, but there is certainly stuff that's happening. I mean, no one predicted Sinn Féin to be up at 20%, even on those first polls, or even Fianna Fáil to surge up ahead either. There is obviously on paper here it's 22 and the last election was 24 and 25. But beneath the surface, there's a lot of volatility, lots of people changing. And even, as I said, within a year, Sinn Féin losing half the council seats and having an enormously successful general election result without actually any massive significant event. I mean, what happened between December and January for Sinn Féin to rise in support? The only thing I could see was the decline in the relative importance of Brexit as an issue, which may be focused everyone a little bit more on the domestic policies. The RIC thing kicked things off, and you know, some other events.
Yeah, to what degree? I do wonder. The RIC.
The RIC started badly for them, or it happened
just in the weeks and before, the run in. But it set a tone, didn't it? Yes, for Sinn Féin and for Fine Gael.
And it was about, yeah, and that led in then to a series of events that maybe in isolation weren't going to be a huge issue for Fine Gael, but stopped the momentum. So Emma's text in relation to the polls being good for momentum, yes, they were, particularly for Sinn Féin, but there was a series of events. So, for example, we'll remember there was the gentleman in the tent on the canal. That was week one. Then we had the murder of and the dismemberment of the boy from Drogheda. That was in week one. We then also had the confusion around the pension, which was a major issue for people. That happened between week one and week two. We then, I think, had the Catherine Noon's comments around the Taoiseach. That stopped the momentum. So there was a couple of these issues that got in the way of Fine Gael being able to drive on with their campaign. Also, as Kevin has touched on, Brexit wasn't that big of an issue, yet Fine Gael decided that, by God, we're going to hang our hats on Brexit, yeah, which again, you could see people weren't interested on the doorsteps.
And what the difference, I think, Jennifer, you will have written and analysed on this already, the difference between talking about the economy as a macro thing that is going well, that we're balancing the books, that we've restored our international reputation. You know, if you are locked into a rental contract that you can't afford, if you've got a precarious contract, you are not really going to, get turned on by the idea of us balancing the books.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think Fine Gael's message was certainly, obviously, in relation to the economy, whereas Fianna Fáil's message was more about the society that we live in. Fine Gael stuck to that message from the very beginning right through to the very end, which was Brexit and the economy, and the two are intrinsically linked. I was very surprised to see that they did continue with it. But looking at these figures, you would have to wonder how much that attack campaign and how much that project fear actually did scare some voters off to think about the economy and to actually think about their own bottom line. Like, yes, you know.
Because actually, on paper, and it's only by a tiny 0.2%, but Fine Gael are the lead party, according to this
exactly. And in the final few days of the campaign, I think that they really doubled down on those attacks. And I really got a sense in Fine Gael after the final leaders' debate, where they all believed that Leo Varadkar won the night, that they actually, after that night and in the following days, that they genuinely believed that they could pull it back. There was a lot of scoffing at this. Now, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but, you know, I think the message has been consistent, at least it has been that. The Fianna Fáil message clearly hasn't resonated. I do think they will be very disappointed, especially with that Dublin figure, given all of the canvassing that Micheál Martin had done. I'm thinking, even in my own constituency, Dublin North West, he put a huge amount of time into canvassing with Paul McAuliffe, though I do believe that Paul McAuliffe will take a seat out there. It's all to play for, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I just wanted to pick up on that point about the debates. You're asking, do the debates matter? But actually, I think the debates do really matter, but maybe not in the way that we often discuss them, which is like who won and who landed a blow and at what point. But we need to think about the debates in a much broader way. They're actually one of the crucial ways where voters get information about the key proposals. Perhaps Regina Doherty, it was a slip of the tongue when she said people don't read manifestos, but we all know people don't read manifestos. But hundreds of thousands of people watched all of those debates, and cumulatively that is an enormous contribution to the campaign, and it's a major way people get the get information about what the parties stand for, where the differences between them. And the other thing is they have agenda setting, because what happens in the debate, who's going to be in government, that sets the agenda thereafter. So the way the debates matter is a bit more complex than we sometimes kind of evaluate them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Unless there is a terrible error, I don't believe that the debates matter hugely to the actual result.
But is it also not just a sense you come away with from the debate? Not that, exactly. I really like that one thing he said about that bit of the health policy and the housing policy. It's a sense you come away with, like, they seem to be really on top of that.
They often confirm expectations. Yeah. That's what the research says. But the research says that it also matters that you watch them, because you do learn information. You do come out more informed at the...
But you still come in with the same same view that you went into the thing with, unless if there isn't a huge error. Now, Mary Lou's decision to do the last three-way was a risky one, particularly given the way that one wrapped up. Now, that might have had an impact, maybe it has, on these numbers. But I think, yes, it is great to get the information. I don't know how many people would have stuck it from 9:30 to 11:30 and watched it in the great detail that maybe all of us did. But certainly in changing people's attitude and how they vote, I'm not sure.
Well, if there was a large amount of undecided voters, and if you were an undecided voter and you were genuinely thinking, maybe I will switch my vote to Sinn Féin, maybe I will switch my vote to Fianna Fáil, and you watched that debate, it could sway you.
Can I ask you, because I see we're coming up to the end of the programme, I just want to get in, because obviously the fate of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the fate of Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin's political careers hang very much on what's going to happen when these boxes are open tomorrow. On these numbers, Jennifer?
Absolutely. And, you know, there was already a sense in Fine Gael that if Leo Varadkar, if they suffered an electoral meltdown, that his career was very much on the line. Now, he has said that he would like to stay in the job afterwards, even if they went into opposition. But already I heard people talking about how much different would it have been if Simon Coveney had won the leadership that time. Now, Micheál Martin, of course, he's been waiting a long time for this. He's been waiting a long time to be made Taoiseach. And I think if it doesn't pan out that way for him, they're going to have that conversation again. And the only person, apart from Eamon Ryan, the only other person who can come out of this sure that they've done a good job is Mary Lou McDonald.
Yeah, Teresa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, broadly speaking, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, I think on these figures, it looks like Fianna Fáil, if they are a little bit underestimated, they're probably still in the driving seat to form some kind of a government. But it is going to be a very complicated government, which is going to have to involve several moving parts and confidence and supply from Fine Gael. And there's a great deal of reluctance towards that. But it would strike me that there's less reluctance towards that to any of the other combinations, which are a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael Grand Coalition, Sinn Féin Fine Gael, Sinn Féin Fianna Fáil. I mean, I think those require crossing much more substantial red lines for the parties. So perhaps Fianna Fáil is still in the driving seat, but not in the kind of scenario that they would have hoped 3 weeks ago at the start of this campaign.
Indeed. Just in relation to that, if given the theme, and even just listening to those vox pops, the whole theme driving force behind this campaign was change. We want change, we want change. If the public get just a little flip over of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, how is that going to play with people?
Well, I'm not sure if Fine Gael would flip it over. I'd say they probably would want to get out entirely. The only viable governments, as you can see here, probably Fianna Fáil in with the Greens and Sinn Féin and in the middle so-called confidence supply seat, or Fianna Fáil probably have to get over their thing about Sinn Féin at the end of the day. I mean, that's probably where it'll land.
That is where it'll land.
Well, I think there has to be the big question out of this, if these numbers are right, is whether Fianna Fáil will go in with Sinn Féin or not.
And can they do that under Micheál Martin?
Exactly.
And on that question, we have to leave it there. That is all we have time for tonight. But do join us tomorrow when our extensive broadcast starts at 10 a.m. and will run right through to the wee hours of the morning as those seats begin to get filled. So, but from all of us, I want to thank my panel and say from all of us for the moment, good night.